In the words of Pittsburgh native Wiz Khalifa, ask me how I feel, I say I feel all right. And this is the Fat Man Chronicles.
I was not hiding. I was unsure. And now
literally laughed during the quote this time.
I was trying not to.
What was funny?
I don't know.
Because I said Wiz Khalifa.
That's a funny name.
I think I even said it right.
I think you said it right too.
I gotta be honest, I probably don't know much about the lyrics of Wiz Khalifa, but I only know, personally, I think I only know two Pittsburgh musical acts.
You know, two more than me.
Well, I think, you know, I liked punk and different things. I think Anti-Flag is from there.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm pretty sure Christina Aguilera.
Oh, really?
Is a Pittsburgh person.
That I don't know.
I mean, okay, I'm not a, I'm not an expert in people's birthplaces, but all right. Well, anyway, let's start the show.
Let's start the show. There we go.
All right. This is episode 53 of the Fat Man Chronicles. Gretchen rolls her eyes every time I say the number.
No, because I'm looking to make sure you changed it.
I did. My name is Pete, and I am one of your hosts. And sitting alongside me, as always, laughing away tonight, is my beautiful wife, Gretchen. And we are a regular couple on the journey with you to health, fitness, weight loss, and a better life. And we still don't have any bottles of wine open.
No.
We're becoming teetotalers.
I know. We gotta get up in the morning, you know. You got a race.
I do.
Well, I guess I technically have a race too.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that a little bit.
But so, you know, even though we had our steak and it was calling for a red wine, but we did not open any. So we got water.
Yeah.
Live water.
I even left that upstairs. So we're going to do a brief little FMC rewind.
Yep.
And then the bulk of the episode is a race in preview.
Ooh.
And a little trail, like dropping some trail 101 knowledge on us.
That's
with
awesome.
Karen Clark. And she's fantastic. I think you guys are going to really enjoy the talk that I had with Karen. And we'll see her soon because we leave tomorrow.
We leave tomorrow. Pittsburgh, here we come.
Yeah. So let's get through a little bit of FMC rewind. What was the big highlight on Views from the Couch this week?
Well, a new 90-day fiancé started up. So that is a huge highlight. And this season looks good. So before, it was before the 90 days. So this was like these guys are and girls are going and they're like traveling abroad to meet the people. And they haven't really committed to getting engaged yet. They're still in the dating phase. The 90 Day Fiancé, which is the original show, what started it all, they are actually coming to the U.S. now on the K-1 visa, and they have 90 days to wed. So a new season started up. I was behind. Linda's been, you know, very angry at me because it took a while because I didn't have it recording. But it looks amazingly good. Like, the previews alone are like, oh, so good. Like, there's one woman that she's like from, I think she's from Thailand. And, like, she's marrying a guy that's significantly older than her. And he's got an ex-wife with children. And he, of course, pays child support. And she's like, I don't understand why you pay child support. Like, she doesn't understand that concept. And it's like, well, it's the law. And I want to. Like, he's like, you know, they have a good relationship. So, anyway, so it'll be that was the highlight this week. But I've been so busy with work and I've been in meetings all day that I haven't really watched, like, a ton of TV. So, I'm behind.
I'm sure that your company appreciates that.
Yes.
I did watch one of those before the 90-day interview thing.
Yeah, the reunion show. Yeah, we watched the reunion. Yeah,
that was terrible. I'm scarred forever. These are some of the worst people I've ever seen in my life. That one dude that went to Columbia and...
Oh, right. With the...
He was going to like marry Juan and right. then she like... ghosted him and then
oh look at you using the kids terms ghosted
I'm hip
you're hip yeah and then yeah but spoiler then, the she dumped him so
well after, that was the second one
right the second one dumped him
so I mean it wasn't and he's going back with his ex-wife and he's not like enough like yeah. I don't know how you do it like honestly it's just
that's
not.
What happens when you sit upstairs. I used to like not watch those shows when you'd be upstairs, like work upstairs. I like watch all my cooking shows or something like that because I have a ton of my cooking shows that I'm way behind on. So I would throw that on because you enjoy watching those with me. But I had to get through my 90 days. Like Linda was like, she was threatening to, you know, pull her patronship if I hadn't watched it. So
as long as she leaves the review. I honestly, cooking shows I'm not real thrilled with anymore either because I can't eat 90% of what ends up on those shows. So it's basically torture.
Yeah.
Either way.
It's so
pretty much torture.
Pick your torture.
But that's all right. And you know, we will say it every week. This Is Us continues to be just masterful.
This week
masterful.
Was great because it was like you got an insight into Toby's like little Toby and stuff and
It was great.
It was awesome.
That dude's a heck of an actor. I mean, they're all just amazing.
Yeah.
So, all right, we won't harp on. No. One of these days, we'll probably have to do a whole This Is Us special. I keep threatening
that. I know we talk about it all the time.
Maybe. Oh, and they're Pittsburgh, right?
They are in Pittsburgh.
Oh. We're going to the homeland.
We're going to the homeland.
All right. So you should have a race coming up this Saturday.
There is
rain in the forecast.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen here?
So we know I don't like running, first of all.
Right.
And I don't like being cold.
Okay.
I really don't like being wet. So it's going to be running in the cold and rain.
You don't like to be tired.
I mean, I don't think anyone likes being tired, but I think I would be able to do it and not get tired afterwards. So I think I'd be all right with it. But I don't know. Well, it's going to be a game day decision because... If it's like a mist, okay, I'll go out. Maybe I might have to find a hat. I don't have a hat. I think I might have a hat somewhere. Like a baseball hat, you know?
I've got a hundred.
You have like 100. So I'm planning on doing it. My goal is, I got off my booty and I went and I've been running and doing my walk and I did two back-to-back intervals, which I did not enjoy, but.
2 days.
2 days,
not just two intervals.
Yeah, no, yeah, 2 days. And so tomorrow I'm supposed to walk, but that's not going to happen. I'll walk the airport. We'll probably walk when we get to Pittsburgh too, just kind of walking around. So I'll figure that'll be all right. So I'm going in. Planning on doing it, but I mean, I really don't think I should walk it with an umbrella. I think people would look at me kind of funny if I had an umbrella on. we'll see. If it's raining, which it looks like, we've been looking at Pittsburgh weather. We haven't been looking at
could be snow.
It could be snow. If it's snowing, I'd probably go out and do it. I don't mind snow. It's rain. I really just don't like rain. I don't like rain.
This really is great. Yeah, they really cancel these races. So
I know. And
so you spent money.
It was $40.
All right. Well, but hold on.
Yeah.
One of the reasons that you've given as an incentive to do training is because you paid somebody.
I paid somebody.
So now you've paid for the race.
I did.
How does that,
because it's going to be raining.
Okay, so rain trumps money. Okay, at what dollar amount does rain trump money?
Well, it was $40, so... You know, Uncle Mike gave me 50 for my birthday, okay. So I feel
talk about money that you're getting.
I feel like it's okay in that
respect. No more dollar amounts given out today.
But I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm going to go into it feeling like I'm going to do it, but...
You didn't answer the question. What level? Would you say, I've paid this much, so I'm doing it in the rain?
I don't think I would pay that much to do a race, though.
You're not getting this.
No.
Is $50 the threshold? Is wow. $70 the threshold? Is $100? Like, oh, what's the threshold?
I'm not going to pay that much to go on a race. I hear you.
Just in general.
In general,
at
I know.
What, at I what point, had, if I had signed you up for a race for $1,000,
oh my gosh,
and it was raining, would you do it? Okay.
Probably.
This is a lot of thinking.
It is. Because it's, I just, you know me, I don't like being uncomfortable.
I'm just trying to figure out where the rain to money ratio tips. That's all. I'm just trying to figure out the tipping
point. I don't know
point.
If it tips. It might not tip. It might not tip. But we'll see. I mean, I'm hoping that, you know, maybe it's like a light snow.
It could be. Or a light rain.
Or a light rain, and I'll go out and do it. I probably will go out and do it, because what else am I going to do?
Drink coffee? Probably find yourself a Bellini or something. I don't know. You could be drunk by the time I get back. Yeah, I'm going to be out there a while.
This is true.
Because it does look like there's precipitation, like almost no matter what. So,
yeah, there's going to be something going on.
And it's my first trail run.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've run on trails, but
right.
race. But I'm not really racing it, so I hate calling it a race. But
it's a race.
And there's a lot of, going to be a lot of slipperiness, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And
I don't want to risk getting hurt. You know me, I'm very clumsy.
I don't think you're going to have to worry on the 5K course. I think you'll be okay, especially since you probably walk most of it. And that's all right.
But I have to do, my plan calls for 2.5 mile run.
Yeah. But you're going to be, if you're going up and down a mountain.
That's okay.
You don't run that.
Will Coach Andy agree that that's.
That's just.
That's okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And you'll get dispensation.
Do I get dispensation?
From Coach Andy. And you can make it up the next day. You can go run around the hills of downtown Pittsburgh.
Wait.
What is that?
Wait, you mean so I got to walk a 5K and then I still have to do my run?
Well, you're going to miss your walk on Friday. So you're basically just moving it to Saturday.
You know, you're a little too logical for me right
you
now.
You don't have to do anything.
I know I don't.
I mean, we'll walk a lot in Pittsburgh.
We
hopefully.
Are going to walk a lot.
I mean, even in the rain.
Even in the rain.
I'm going to try to find one of those umbrella hats and just walk around with
that'd
that.
Be awesome.
Just put on a rain slicker and a poncho.
Yes. So what about, so you are a little more, I mean, so you got your.
I've got the half, and we're going to go into that with Karen. And I talk a little bit about I did that interview on Monday.
Yes.
This is Thursday when we're recording, we'll release right away.
Yeah.
So, I hit a branch or a pine cone or something while I was running on Monday and twisted my ankle, rolled it really, not twisted, more of a roll and went straight down. I think if I was 10 years younger, I would have gone like 5 or 6 steps and like gently gone to the ground. If I was in my 20s, I probably would have just kind of, you know, brushed
been
it
like
off and
whatever.
Kept running.
Yeah.
At 47, I pretty much went down like a sack of potatoes. Like I just, boom.
Was it like when you got hit in the head with the branch?
It
like
was.
That?
Yeah. And you know, it was not very far away from that. That's like a treacherous stretch for me over
Why
there.
Why are you running over there?
It's just
Learn
part of
your
the route.
Lesson. Don't the run route. There.
Well, and it, I just wasn't. So this, so when I, it sounds like I've had like 80 injuries and I haven't. when I caught my knee in Spain.
Right.
I was worried, nervous, scared. I'm in a foreign country. I'm a wuss.
Yeah.
So I just didn't know what was going to happen. And I was super close to a race. And it's exactly why I didn't want to go to Spain.
Yeah, exactly.
I said, what if
something
happens?
What if you hurt yourself?
And I get hurt. And and so I'm like, thought I had prescient abilities, premonitions.
Yes.
And then I was worried about that one. This one, I was just mad at myself. I've grown up in this area. I know what it's like in the fall. Branches
right.
fall, pine cones fall, leaves fall.
Yeah.
Mostly they're tree-related problems. So, but,
yeah. I mean, when I was out this morning, like it's like a war zone out there, like running
is.
Around the branches and the leaves and stuff.
Right. And that's because we're in a mature area.
Which we love.
Which we love because there's nice big trees and stuff.
Right.
But they also are more fragile on the ends of the branches and they fall. And I heard it. My headphones had just died. I'm trying to put them in my pocket. I'm not looking where I'm going. because I've run this way a million times and I heard it. I didn't see anything. And that's because I was stepping on it at that exact moment. And then I just went down.
Yeah.
And so I was worried and it hurt, but I knew it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
But I wanted to get home. So I called you to get me because I didn't want to walk on it too far. I walked probably half a mile. And I wanted to get in and get it iced and get it elevated. And I did all that and did some strengthening exercises over the past several days.
This happened on my birthday.
It did.
And I feel like you're getting injured on my birthday to steal my thunder.
Well,
last year
I had surgery, to be fair.
Right. But you stole my thunder for my birthday.
Oh,
again.
For sure. Right. But that taco cart was that was spot on. Good idea by me. Everybody's still talking about that taco cart.
So, I mean, there's other ways to get attention, I guess, right. Is the moral of the story.
Yeah. I'm not real thrilled with it either.
But you've been doing your strength and now you went out today. Went out running today.
I took the cranky ankle, the crankle out for a 2 miler. I wanted to go further. Andy said 2 miles. So I did 2 miles unwillingly, but I did and took it easy and it felt good. No pain. Stiffness,
good.
Yes.
Yeah.
I could tell still if I move my ankle inward, like there's still a little bit of soreness.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going anywhere.
Yeah.
It's not very swollen. I think I'm fine. So bottom line, I'm doing the race.
Yep.
So it'll be fine. I'm not going to risk anything though on the course.
Right.
Because the most important part is to get started right away with marathon training.
Yep.
There's not that long to that race. So
no.
And it's looking like some people, are thinking about it.
Oh, very exciting.
I know.
Very exciting.
I'm looking at you out there, Dave Dushkin. Keep going, brother. I hope to see you there. So yeah. But that's about it. So I think, we should go over to the interview.
Yeah, let's go to the interview.
All right, let's get over there and hear my interview, race and preview with the one and only Karen Clark. Okay, I'm now joined by Karen Clark. Karen is the person who talked me into doing this first trail race while vacationing out in Pittsburgh. So we rearranged our plans, and I couldn't say no. Karen's been on the Endurance for Everyone podcast, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes so you can get even more in-depth information on her. But in the meantime, what we're going to do is just have her tell you a little bit about herself. And then we're going to do a little race in preview of the Marathon on the Mountain half marathon that we have coming up this Saturday, October 27th, 2018. Karen, welcome to the Fat Man Chronicles.
Thanks. It's good to be here. And just for the record, it didn't take a lot of persuading here, Pete.
that's true. I'm easy.
I sent you one little note saying if you come a day earlier, we have this race. And just like that, you rearranged everything.
I did. I was looking for an excuse to run a race like this. And, the opportunity to be out there and have you along for that, it was too much to pass up. And Gretchen, not too hard to persuade to do things either. So she was on board.
That was an even bigger surprise, right? That she was wanting to do the 5K. I'm really happy about that. I think she's going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. She, I think is after she heard your advice that you said or your input that she could walk it pretty easily, she was like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm all in then.
Yeah.
So excellent. Well, why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself and why trail running, why you were trying to get me to come out and do a trail run?
Yeah, I mean, I just love the idea of getting anyone involved in trail running. And I mean, this race in particular, I've done it twice now. And both times I ran it, I've always thought to myself that it would be an awesome race for someone who maybe usually runs roads and has been maybe thinking about wanting to get into trail running or even into ultra running. Because it's just a great combination of surfaces. It gives you a little bit of everything. The crowd is awesome. So you're actually the first person who's taken me up on the offer so far. Well, I'm excited about that.
I think we would have had Rob out there too if it wasn't for Marine Corps.
Yeah, I actually mentioned it to him a little bit before you, I think. And at the time he wasn't doing Marine Corps, but we are doing that Fire on the Mountain 50K the weekend after. So Yeah, I think it would have been a little bit much for him to persuade his wife to come to Pittsburgh as well. So.
Excellent. So, how long have you been running?
I'm 52 now. So I very first started running in my 20s. I did absolutely nothing at school. I wasn't into athletics. I never ran anything. And this kind of sums me up pretty well because when I hit about 18 or 19, I just had this idea that I wanted to run a marathon. I hadn't ever really run before, but I just had this feeling that I was kind of a runner, and I just really wanted to do it. So I ran a marathon in my 20s, and then I really didn't run at all much after that. Career and life took over, and I would go for the odd jog just to keep fit, but I didn't really race. Until, oh, maybe actually when we came over here, so maybe 5 years ago when I really started getting back into it. And then I found trail running more through adventure sport. So I love hiking and I did some mountaineering and, just those kinds of outdoor activities. And I realized pretty quickly that the faster I could move, the less I had to carry and the more I could see. So that's where ultra running came in.
Oh, that's awesome. So, how many ultras or, I mean, do you run mostly ultras then these days?
I do. I sprinkle road running in as well. So I ran the Pittsburgh Marathon last year. We in 2018, 17. I think last year. Yeah, last year. I qualified for Boston at the Pittsburgh Marathon. So I do a little bit of road running as well. But mostly I run trails and like the longer, the better, really. I'm just better over longer distances. I enjoy it more. I like the strategy that's involved in it. It's less about just pace and time on your watch and more about figuring out how to actually navigate a course and navigate being on your feet for, a lot of hours. So I love that part of it. So yeah, I mostly run ultras. I was actually looking at this year, I've ran, I think, about a dozen races and half of them have been like 50K or longer.
Wow, that's
Yeah.
fantastic.
Yeah.
Did you run Boston then when you qualified?
Did not, because the other part of my story is pretty much about 12 months ago, 13 months ago, I got a cancer diagnosis. So I was right in the middle and in the thick of treatment right around Boston time. So I got my bib and I didn't get to go. So got to get up there. So I'll just have to qualify again.
Yeah, well, you're still out there doing all of these incredible races while you're continuing to go through treatment. So it's super inspirational. I mean, how could I say no to getting to hit the trails with you for the first time?
See, there you go. And what excuse could you possibly have, right? That would
Right?
come an excuse I might have not to
My mom had breast cancer, and she's since gotten a, gone through treatments and gotten a clean bill of health, thankfully. But I'm always telling her, while you were sick, like, well, I mean, just all the time with the excuse of, oh, I've got cancer. I mean, come on, let's move. And she always gets a big kick out of that because she's, super healthy now. So, yeah, and hopefully everybody that has to fight this, fight the big C gets through it. So, all right, well, let's talk a little bit about the race, since you've done it a couple of times. Did you do the full, it's a half marathon and a full marathon and a 5K. I don't think there's any other distances, right?
No, I'm pretty sure that's all. And the marathon and the half marathon people all start at the same time. And it's if you do the marathon, you just do the half marathon loop twice.
Got it. And did you do the marathon the first couple of times?
I've only ever done the half
Oh,
up there.
nice.
And the first time I did it, I just did it to support a local race. They used to have something called Mud on the Mountain, which got taken over by all the Spartan races and, all of that kind of stuff. So that one went by the wayside a few years ago, and I just don't want these little local races to disappear. So, as best I can, I try to kind of get out to them. This is about an hour's drive from where I live, so it's just east of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so it's at a place called Seven Springs,
Yeah.
and Gretchen and I are actually going to stay there at the resort on Friday night because I like the idea of rolling out of bed and being at the start line. That's one of
And
my criteria.
it has a nice start time too, right? It's like 8 o'clock in the morning, so you haven't got to get up super early, even for us. Like we can leave maybe an hour and a half before that and easily get out there and pick up the numbers and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's a nice civilized start time for a race.
It is at the half, and the full are both at 8 o'clock, and you check in between 6 and 8 on race day, get your number, it looks like, and pin it on and be ready to go. And it looks like Gretchen's 5K start is basically after all the marathon and half marathon people are on the course.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure that's what they do. Like, I've never obviously been there for the start of it, but it seems like, yeah, you're right. They pretty much just get everyone else through, and then they'll probably start hers right away. And there are a decent number of people that register, but it's not by any means a big race. So there are no logistical issues. You know, there are no corrals. There's none of that kind of crap. It's just, you know, nice little race.
Yeah, and so you were talking about how there's all kind, I mean, like every kind of surface. The one thing on their website, which is marathononthemountain.com, they basically break down all 13 miles for us, including telling us what the composition is of the surface. So it looks like it's everything.
I haven't read that.
Yeah, I
warned
found it today.
You that I tend not to have the details.
It's funny because I was just kind of looking today at what I'm like, I wonder what this course map looks like. And I had looked at it before briefly, but not in too much earnest. And then, you know, it has 1 through 13, and it kind of tells you about the race. So it has blacktop, dirt, loose gravel, grass, single track, double track. I mean, you've pretty much got everything going on. So for anybody who doesn't know, single track is literally, it's like a single person or a single bike could fit on the path. And you'd have to kind of move to the side for people to get around you. And then double track is wide. So
exactly,
you can kind of get around there a little bit. So,
and this has a really, really awesome bit of single track that, from memory, is there might be other little bits of, yeah, I think there's like 2 decent sections of real single track trail with, like, you know, rocks and roots and all that kind of stuff. There's a shorter bit at the beginning, and then at the end there's a really cool, like, downhill bit, which is, it's just really nice. It's through the woods. It's really, really pretty. And yeah, both of them are just, they're awesome. They're a great way to experience trails without thinking that you've got to be running on rocks and roots for 13 miles. You know, it's probably about maybe 3 miles or so, I would say.
So it looks like it's not super technical overall.
Yeah, exactly. But it's got enough so that when you've finished it, you'll feel like you ran a trail race.
Got it. And so it looks like it starts out at a place called the Foggy Goggle.
Yes, it starts right at the base of the ski field. And you kind of run through, you probably know more than me because you read the website from memory. It goes through a bit of a car park, I think, just to make up some distance. Oh, that's the other cool thing about it. The course, both years I've done it, has run short. It's probably the only trail race I've ever done that runs short on distance. So it's actually closer to 12 miles than 13.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, unless they've corrected that in some way and, like, managed to add another mile somewhere, so don't hold me to that, but the last 2 years have been a little short. So, it starts off, you kind of go through a car park, which is kind of good for a race like this because it means that, you know how everyone, the gun goes off and everyone just sort of takes off? So people kind of charge. Yeah, I always start at the back, to be honest. So, I mean, if you're cool with that, I prefer to do. So I'll start right at the back and we'll just kind of wander down there. But you pretty quickly hit the first hill, which I think was gravel, and started to go up the ski field. And so, you know, everyone takes off and races through the car park and then huffs and puffs and stops going up the hill. So you don't really gain a lot by running fast at the beginning.
What kind of, I mean, because, you know, they've got the elevation here, but not too much detail on what kind of, how steep these things are. It doesn't look like there's anything too wickedly steep, but that could be deceiving.
I think it's deceiving. I don't want to be negative about this, Pete, but actually it's deceiving in what I actually think of as a good way, because there's really only one hill I can remember that was like just a long gradual climb. You know, so it's not really steep enough to walk, but if you're not careful and you don't watch your pace, you're going to get pretty exhausted by the time you get to the top of it. And from memory, the other hills were, for me, just walks. Like, it didn't make any sense to try and run. In fact, last year, I remember passing people running and I was power hiking. So it just makes more sense to walk up a lot of them.
I'm all for that. I've run some hills, but around here we don't have a lot of them, and I've definitely got to figure out a way to get more of them in. I actually just looked up in Illinois where to go, and it's interesting. My older two children live in central Illinois near Peoria, out just outside of it in Illinois, and they have the most elevation. One of the paths there has the most elevation in Illinois, so I'll have to get the kids out and go for a long hike on that trail.
I mean, the way to kind of put this trail race in perspective, it does. I think I look back on my Strava stuff from last year, and I think it had around 1800 feet. So if you think that you're starting and finishing in the same spot, right? So you're going to climb up and you're also going to climb down. So that means that 1800 feet is really on half of the course. So you're covering 1800 feet in maybe 6 miles.
Yeah, and that's what it looks like. It looks like you kind of have a dip and then a pretty good climb to start the race. And then looks like it flattens out more or less. But it's interesting because when you look at the elevation, what looks flattened out for me would be like if I went for a 20-mile run, I'd maybe get half of that much elevation in because it looks like, it's 100 feet here, 100 feet there.
Very little of it's flat. The only flat part is right near the top. There must be like an old airfield because there's like a runway strip that you run down and sort of circle around and run back. And that's really the only flat bit. And even that is like mildly on a slope. So most of it is undulating the whole way. And there are a couple of pretty steep uphills. There's one big steep uphill near the end before you just like get to shoot back down the mountain, to the bottom of the ski field. So.
Yeah, it says you hit it right on the head. It says the fifth mile takes you towards the former Seven Springs Airport and a
Oh,
run
please.
down, you guessed it, the runway.
There
It
you
says enjoy the view from this high point while you run past a large pond to the north. To the south, you'll see for miles. All right.
Well, times I've done it, it's been clogged in, cloudy, and the first year was raining. So I can't say I actually got to see the view, but I'm sure it's probably there.
Well, right now it
This
looks like it's going to be
is the
cloudy,
year.
but so far they've taken the rain out of the forecast, which is nice. Although it wouldn't stop us, but although Gretchen did tell me if it's raining, she's like, I'm not doing this. I'm like, you could take an umbrella.
She probably could. Or a raincoat might be better, though. I don't know. It
Yeah, a
would
little
be her
poncho or
call.
something. Yeah, so looking down here, it looks like there's a few little descents, and then it says the eighth mile is all downhill. And then right after that,
That's a bit through the woods. I think the 8th mile is the really pretty part. That's really true single track. It's beautiful.
yeah, it looks like it kind of starts gradual, and then they said it gets kind of steep as you go. And then it looks like it kind of hits a bottom around mile 10, and then it says the 10th mile is a constant climb. So if I look at this, it looks like there's a really big, like 700 foot climb towards the end of the race, and then you go downhill.
Oh, I remember this now. Yeah, you're right. There is, because you come down and you hit like a little bit better than a jeep track, but kind of like a gravel. Yeah, that's a pretty long hill. I remember that now. And then you think you're at the top of it, but you're really not. Kind of keeps going up, and then there's a sort of grassy knoll that you climb up that's pretty steep, and then you can virtually see it's all downhill from there. Yeah, I forgot about that. That's pretty steep.
Yeah, it looks like it's about a mile and a half, maybe 2 miles, and you get about, it looks like about 700 feet of gain right there.
Yeah,
So,
that probably makes sense.
yeah, that's a lot of the gain.
Have to do that,
Yeah, well, I mean, look, this is why I want to do it. I think that's the fun part of it, is that challenge to get through it. And as we talked a little bit earlier, off the air before we came on, and I'm sure I'll mention it in the stuff that Gretchen and I record to kind of sandwich around the interview here. I rolled my ankle today and I was just angry. And
Yeah.
basically, I'm running, on the street. or, you know, on a sidewalk. And I heard a branch, and it looked like it was a branch and a pine cone must have come down, and somehow I didn't see it, and I stepped on it and just rolled very sharp and hard, and I went down. So like I wasn't able to run, basically, like, or even walk at first. I went straight down. So it was not my favorite thing to do 5 days before, 6 days before a race. But, you know, in this one, I'm out there. I mean, I want to push myself a little bit, but I'm not out there to race it. So, I mean, we're just out there to have some fun, get that first trail race under my belt. And I don't think it's anything bad enough that would stop me at all. But it, you know, it, I think you said you recently did something similar. So, you know, it just doesn't feel good.
It doesn't feel good. I think that a few things that I would say, I don't know whether this will make you feel better or worse about it, but I used to have a lot of issues on trails. I would twist my ankles all the time, and it would always be just not paying attention. It would always happen on flat sections. Like you said, you were on the road, you know, where you just don't really think you need to pay attention to where your feet are. That's most likely where it's going to happen. So I think you'll find on most of these surfaces, Pete, they'll be when...
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm back. All right. That was... Luckily, I know how to edit now, so we can get all that right out of there. So I think it cut off somewhere where you were talking about running on flat surfaces is kind of where you've caused your problems before.
Yeah, because you're not really paying attention to where you put your feet, right? You think that it's easy. And I think that's when you're way more likely to trip and twist things. Than when you're running on technical trail, because you're paying attention. Like when there are rocks and roots and crap around, you're watching where you put your feet for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And today I knew better. It's the fall in Chicagoland. Branches and pine cones and things are falling all the time. You've got to be on the lookout for it. I got my, you know, I'll tell you exactly what happened. My headphones died. So I was taking them off and I was putting them in my pocket. So I wasn't looking at the surface. Literally just, I heard it, kind of looked around, didn't see anything. And the next thing I know, I'm on the ground. So,
yeah,
you know, that's definitely not my favorite, but, we're going to get through it either way. I don't think it's anything that'll stop me. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I think I'm definitely going to strap mine a bit. I have like an ankle brace, and I think we just both have to be careful that we don't retwist the same ankle again. You know, we'll just kind of watch where we're going. And on trails, when I've done something like that, I'm really mindful of when I'm landing on my foot, I try and make sure I'm landing on the inside of my foot so that if I do land on something and my foot twists sideways, I've got a little bit more time to correct it.
Oh, nice. That's good.
Yeah, I don't know where your foot naturally lands. Yeah, but mine usually naturally lands on the outside of the ball of my foot, which is bad because that's the worst place if you're going to twist it sideways. So
yeah, I'm kind of a midfoot. I'm pretty kind of neutral midfoot runner. So, but I mean, definitely I could see where that, you know, kind of making sure that you're going inward there. Could be helpful. You talked about the uphills in terms of, you know, being able to hike some and kind of power hike through a lot of those. What about the downhills? Are there technical descents? Are you pretty much able to run these downhills?
For me, they're all runnable. I would say there are two parts that are on technical trails. So you might just have to see how that feels. You know, we could start off, maybe I could go ahead of you and we'll just kind of trot down them a bit and just see how it feels. It's going to depend a lot on what the trail is actually like. Like there are going to be probably a lot of leaves and things around as well. So they can make it even harder to see if there are rocks and roots underneath there. And we haven't had a lot of rain, so I'm not expecting it to be muddy, but the whole thing will be damp because it's all under a canopy of trees, right? So, yeah, so you want to make sure, I would never trust a tree root to land on because they're always slippery. You're almost asking to fall over. So, yeah, we'll just kind of have to see, you know, how it goes. So there are two that I would say could be a little bit slow. You know, depending on how confident you're feeling or if your ankle's bothering you, we might want to take that a little bit slower. But other than those two big downhills that are really on trail, the rest of it absolutely is runnable. Yeah.
And it looks like there's plenty of aid stations out on the course. Every couple of miles, it pretty much looks like.
Yeah, it's funny because I don't actually remember that. I remember there only being three. Maybe that's right because you switch through. I don't remember. I actually asked Lloyd that, and I don't really remember where they are. But, yeah, there definitely were enough. I don't remember feeling like I had to carry a whole lot of stuff with me because this is not going to take us all that long.
Right. And yeah, I guess in a relative sense, when you're when you're used to ultras, it's not that long. For me, it's about as long as I go. So, and Lloyd's running the half also, or is he running the full?
No, Lloyd's doing the half as well. Like, what is the longest you've ever actually been on your feet, like, you know, walking and running at the same time?
Well, I hiked the Grand Canyon some years ago. But other than that, I mean, on race day, we do the 13.1 and change, of course, because I'm not perfect. And, you know, other than that, my training runs have capped out at 12 so far. That'll change now with marathon training coming up around the corner.
How much time is that, roughly?
You know, when I do a 12-mile run, I'm doing them at 12-minute pace, 12-minute plus pace usually at this point. So, I mean, it's a few hours.
Yeah. So I think you'll be absolutely fine. And I think that what you'll find is the overall pace of this might not actually be that different to what you've been doing on road, because you naturally, even though it's really hilly, they naturally turn into walk breaks, right? So they're not a stroll, but you're not running the whole thing.
Right.
And you can, other than those two big downhills we just talked about, you can make up some time, you know, on some downs. So I would think maybe it'll take us somewhere between 2.5 and 3 hours, I would say. 3 hours would be the longest.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too. I mean, my PR in a half marathon is 2:21 and change from earlier this year. Then I did another one in, I think it was under 2:40, or where I wasn't really even working that hard. So I figured I could do this and somewhere in that amount of time. I mean, my fitness is getting better. So, you know, I think the trail portion of it is the part that I'm not so sure about. Like if I was just going out and running a flat one, I'm pretty sure I could be in the 220s these days. So yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, I'll have a fuel belt on because I just don't know what will be at the aid stations. I'll have a little bit of fuel with me, but I don't really need a ton for that distance.
I don't think you will either. And like you say, we're going out there to have fun. So, you know, we're not going to be pushing it. I mean, it's not going to be easy by any means. It's really hilly. But, you know, if we're basing our pace on effort and we want our effort to be kind of moderate, then we're not going to be out there, you know, slogging it and doing 8-minute miles everywhere, you know. So yeah, we're not going to be like burning through a whole ton of sugar while we're out there running, I don't think.
Well, and yeah, that's good because I can't do an 8-minute mile yet. Because I feel it's coming. I think we're going to get there.
You know what? If you train to get faster, you get faster.
Well, that's been for sure. I mean, starting this journey, you know, I have not been running consistently for very long. So it's amazing when I look at the progress and, you know, Rob and I talk quite a bit about pace and just running in general. And, you know, I'm always amazed at, you know, the progress he's made in the last year plus, which is the culmination of a decade. But still, I mean, it's been amazing to watch. So this one's about fun, though.
Are you still there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, sorry. I always assume that I just believe that anything my coach put in my plan would work. And when I wanted to qualify for Boston, I never have considered myself to be a fast runner. You know, I trained for distance. I've spent years trying to go like long and slow. So when I wanted to do Boston, I was actually coming off an Achilles tendon injury. And so I knew I couldn't run an ultra early in the year. So I just kind of threw out to him, hey, you know, the Pittsburgh Marathon's here, like maybe I'll train for that. So he put all these speed sessions in there. And I thought I believed that it would work, Pete, but I really didn't until I saw it work. Like suddenly my easy pace was 30 seconds faster than it had ever been before.
Wow.
You know, it felt like it happened within the space of like 2 or 3 weeks. It's pretty cool when you actually start really focusing on, you know, doing that interval stuff. And like, yeah, it's pretty amazing. So
yeah, that's been a lot of fun.
Especially if you come from a slower pace. You know, like I say, I had never been fast. So I guess the
room for improvement was pretty big.
So, well, that's exactly it. I mean, you hit it, right? Because that's where I was at too. And it's amazing to me, well, you know, hitting that sub 30 not too long ago, finally, after working on it for quite a while. And then I was saying to Gretchen over the weekend that it's amazing to me now I can run a 10K on Friday and 8 miles on Saturday. And that's my quote unquote cutback. That's the easy stuff. And before, that would have put me out of commission for 2 days. So you come a long way if you just keep consistency. It's all about consistency.
It truly is. And I think that, you know, it takes a while for people to realize, but once your long runs are getting up near that half marathon pace, you are ready to train for a marathon if that's what you want to do, you know. But it creeps up on people and they don't really realize that suddenly that's become easier than it was a year ago.
Yeah, that's exactly why I decided to finally go for the marathon. Because I said to Andy, to Coach Andy, my first goal was to get faster, but really what I wanted to be able to roll out of bed on any given weekend and complete a half marathon and still be able to walk around afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm at. So
now
that I made it, okay, now I want to start adding to that and going for that first marathon, because I think it'll be fun. And before, I didn't think it would be fun. So
yeah, I think that's awesome. I'm glad that you're going to go for it. I haven't listened to, you know, all of your podcasts, but I kind of got the feeling it was coming. So good on you. Yeah.
Thanks. So, all right. What I'm also really interested in is I've only run on track, on off-road, on trails a little bit. I'm going to get out there and race on one. Well, run on one. I like to distinguish between it's in a race, but I'm really just running it. I'm not racing it. I'm not going all out on it. But what do you have any like kind of two or three bullet points for a newbie like me that's heading out to the trails for this first time?
I would say run for effort. So like you say, we're both going in it. We don't want to walk it. You know, so we want to feel like at the end of it, we did a half marathon, right? But we also don't want to be flat out like we just broke a 30-minute 5K for the first time. So I think that a really good rule of thumb with trails, especially hilly ones, and most of them tend to be hilly, is to think more about effort and less about pace. You know, so you're trying to kind of moderate your effort through the run to match whatever your goal was. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes very good sense. Yep.
Yeah, and so then what happens is the trail naturally just will dictate what you do, right? Because if you're trying to maintain a certain effort, let's even call it a certain heart rate, if you happen to wear a heart rate monitor, you're naturally going to hike up the hills, you know, because you just have to, or you would be going way over the effort you had planned to put in. You're naturally going to run faster on the downhills because you can, you know, without getting as tired. So I think if you go into it looking at effort, then it's much easier just to take the trail as it comes, you know, especially if you don't know the course or you've never actually been on a hilly trail before. So that's the first thing I would say. The other thing I would say is I love starting at the back of these races, especially when they're hilly. You know, just let everyone else take off, do their thing, and then you don't get so caught up in what anyone else is doing. You know, you can just run your own race and do what you want to do from the back. And it's so much more fun passing people than it is being passed. So if you start at the back, there's no one to pass you.
That's true. And I like that. I don't mind that at all. I'm more than happy to start at the back and just keep going. And, you know, if we pass people, we pass them. And if we don't, we don't.
Yep.
I'm not super concerned. That competitive piece of me has been all internal so far. I really don't race people yet. So... it's not so bad. And, you know, I didn't even look to see what the cutoff or past finishers were, but I don't think that we're in any danger of hitting any cutoffs. Yeah. So
I don't think we're in any danger of hitting cutoffs, and we're also not in any danger of winning, so we don't have to worry about either end.
Mediocre. I like to be right there, right in the middle.
There you go. No pressure.
Awesome. Well, and you and I, you know, had touched base a little bit on shoes, and I didn't go crazy. I didn't even get full-fledged trail shoes for this.
Yeah, I don't think you need it. You know, I think that do you, I mean, so long as they're not like just super flat soles, you know, so long as they've got like a little bit of tread on them, I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, I bought brand new and I've run on them a couple of times on some trails around here. Some Brooks GTX. They're
oh yeah, yeah.
They got the Gore-Tex on them and they were really grippy. So
yeah.
They just don't have the knobs that kind of protrude further down, if you will.
Yeah, I'm not wearing shoes that have, you know, a ton of grip on them either. Like mine have got a little bit of tread. They are a trail shoe, but did you say that they've got Gore-Tex uppers?
They've got Gore-Tex like on the inner lining to help keep water out. And they're used a lot in the Midwest, or here I should say, for winter running. So
okay, I'm just thinking that'll probably be okay because I don't think this has any water crossings. The problem with Gore-Tex shoes is if you actually have to cross streams, they just fill up with water and the water doesn't drain out.
Yeah, so these ones, yeah, I don't think I would ever use them for that, but it just kind of keeps the moisture out, like from rain or snow.
Yeah, they're great for snow. I have some Gore-Tex ones as well that if you're running in snow, it's a godsend because your feet get just frozen if you don't. So yeah, they're really good for that.
Goodness knows I'll be running in plenty of snow. Last year sometimes you will. Three layers of socks just to get through the run. So
I know. Yeah, and I don't, from memory, this doesn't cross any creeks or water that I can think of where they would fill up. And if they do, we can just take some time and like rock hop over them or something. So that'll be fine.
Yeah, it says that we go around water, but never through water. So
yeah, and it hasn't been raining a lot. It's not like sometimes on trails, if it's single track, you'll just be going through water just because it's so rutted out and it's just filled up and there's no way to get around it. But like I say, it hasn't been raining a lot. So I think we'll be just fine.
Great. Well, yeah. All right. Any other words of wisdom before I see you on Saturday?
I don't think so. I think we're good to go, right? We probably should make sure we know what we look like so we can catch up with each other at the start.
That is true. That is true.
Or maybe I'll just drop you a text with I'm wearing this kind of hat or something. And my husband is, Lloyd is 6'7", so he's kind of hard to miss. So
yeah, I saw the pictures of Lloyd, so I figured that if anything, we'll definitely be able to spot him. And yeah, I'll show you my number and I'll have a Be Better Today FMC shirt on, so...
Oh, you know what? The only other thing I would say, Pete, even if it's not raining, it can get, and even if it's not raining or super windy, it is pretty exposed up on the top of the ridge where that old airfield is. So if you've got something that's breathable but maybe blocks the wind, that would be a good layer. If you don't, that's fine. Just wear a couple of layers of something else. But if you've got something that, you know, you're not going to be sweating like crazy on the inside, but it can just break some of that wind, that could be a good thing too.
Cool. Great advice. I will take a look at what I've got.
Sounds good. This is going to be so much fun. And I really do think Gretchen's going to enjoy it as well. So
I think so too. No, I can't wait. And it'll be a fun 2.5 to 3 hours going around some mountains.
And then after that, we'll have to talk about what we're going to do for dinner and find somewhere that has some good wine so you can choose something good off of the menu for us.
Yeah, there you go. That part I know. Now we're hitting my expertise.
There you go. We're both beer drinkers. So I said to Lloyd, we've got a chance to go out with someone that actually knows how to choose a good bottle of wine. So we're taking advantage.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, we can't wait to see you and we'll catch up soon.
Sounds good. And take care of that ankle, right? Lots of ice.
Yeah, you too.
All right.
Thanks.
Take care, Pete. Bye-bye.
All right. We are back, and that was a lot of fun talking with Karen. I think you're going to really enjoy meeting her, and I can't wait to meet her husband, who, as we heard in the interview, is like 6'7".
Oh, my goodness.
So he'll be easy to spot.
Yeah, pretty much.
I bet there's not many out there that are 6'7" on the trail. So.
Nope.
All right, but that's it. Anything else from you tonight?
Got nothing.
All right. Well, you've been listening to episode 53 of the Fat Man Chronicles. Music is You Got Me Wrong by Safar. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Fat Man Stories. Our website is fatmanchronicles.com. There you can shop, you can donate, you can read my blog. Just hang out. Just kind of look at it. It's not very pretty, but it's fun. If you are on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, please leave a review. And on any of your podcast apps, please subscribe. We're now on Spotify. So that's actually become a quick growing platform for us already. Awesome. There's at least 13 listens
on
Spotify. Huge.
Crazy.
And we want to always thank our patrons. We've got Amy, John, Julie, Christine, Linda, and Rob. We've got 6 patrons.
Crazy.
That's insane.
Oh, that's funny.
But we really appreciate it. Yes, it's because of you that we can do this and do it ad-free for now. Gretchen always wants me to go out and find sponsors for all dozen of you.
For dozens.
All right, well, that'll do it. Everyone, get out there and be better today.